Yanis Varoufakis.
Financial crashes can be redemptive, a little like bushfires that clear the forest of excess fuel. But the great crash of 2008 was not one of them. 2008 was one of those moments in history, not seen since 1929, when humanity astonishes itself with the capacity of its economy catastrophically to self-combust. In John Steinbeck's words, are those moments, in the eyes of the people, there is failure. Their eyes are filled by a growing wrath, and in their souls, the grapes of wrath are feeling and growing heavy for the vintage. What crashed and burnt in 2008 was the post-war mechanism by which global capitalism reproduced and stabilized itself. After 1945, the United States willfully recycled its surpluses to Europe and to Japan, overseeing a stable, no-frills, heavily regulated global financial system. That system, known as Bretton Woods, crashed in 1971. Why? Because America lost its surpluses. In its place, a new recycling system evolved. Now it was America's burgeoning deficits that kept other countries' factories going. Germany's, Japan's, China's. To pay for this, Washington unleashed bankers from their harnesses so that they would help guide a constant tsunami of foreign profits back into Wall Street. Of course, once unshackled, Wall Street, along with its able helper, the City of London, were compelled, like the scorpion is to sting, to build pyramids of private, shadow, derivative, phony money. The tragedy of 2008 was not so much that these financial towers burned down. It was that even when they were rebuilt with the help of central banks and taxpayers, Wall Street and the city could no longer support industry and good jobs, feeding instead into higher share and house prices. In this sense, 2008 was to capitalism what 1991 was to socialism, a devastating, irredeemable collapse. If today we live in a world dripping with uncertainty, if Donald Trump is in the White House and Britain about to stumble incompetently out of an incompetent European Union, the reason is that what made the pre-2008 world sustainable died in 2008. But, alas, the new order we need for a sustainable international economy has not been born yet.
Yanis Varoufakis. Well, taking a rather different view, here's the philosopher and free marketeer Jamie White.
Except for a tiny minority of aristocrats and merchants, everyone on Earth lived in poverty until about 250 years ago. The average Brit of 1767 lived on just £4.50 a day, in today's money. Then modern capitalism emerged and everything changed. Over the 500 years prior to 1767, the average British income had doubled. In the 250 years since, it has increased more than 15-fold. Some might say the gains are all from technological advances, not from the shift to a market economy. That's not right. In 1975, the Chinese had access to the same scientific knowledge as Westerners, but they were still dirt poor. It was not until China also moved in the direction of a market economy, allowing private ownership of the means of production and opening its borders to trade, that its population began to become prosperous. In 1980, 40% of the world's population lived in absolute poverty. The globalization of capitalism means that today, less than 10% do. Despite its spectacular success, capitalism is increasingly unpopular. Only 33% of recently surveyed Brits had a favourable view of capitalism, while 39% had an unfavourable view of it. In the June general election, 60% of 18 to 24-year-olds voted for the Labour Party, whose leader and deputy are open socialists. Even the Conservative Party refuses to defend capitalism. Its election manifesto was filled with anti-market rhetoric. What's going on? Why are Westerners turning against capitalism? Paradoxically, part of the answer lies in the success of capitalism. People forget the cause of their prosperity. The business failures and job losses that are necessary for progress, creative destruction, as Joseph Schumpeter put it, seem like defects of a cruel system. Then there are the intellectuals, who influence the general population through university education and the media. Their value is diminished in a free market. Not only do they earn lower pay than they figure they should, but their visions of the ideal society do not hold sway. So they militate for a planned society in which they will guide the way. And then, of course, there was the financial crisis of 2008. The most regulated and government-backed sector of the economy failed and was consequently bailed out at taxpayers' expense. A failure of state capitalism was deemed a failure of market capitalism, and we are now told that we need more state control of capitalism to remedy the failures of the market. In short, the loss of confidence in capitalism is a result of complacency, vanity, and confusion.